T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Guys, 2019 hurricane season has arrived, and once again, 7EYE Ticket is partnering with Local 10 to bring you the best coverage from watch to warn to landfall to recovery. Keep it tuned to the ticket for all your hurricane coverage. Is brought to you by BNT Services, protecting you with PGT Impact windows and doors. Be informed this hurricane season from Local 10 and AM 790 FM 104.3 HD2, the ticket. Text to the show at 67974. It's brought to you by Accident. Lawfirm.com. Texter asked, no Hard Knocks takes. I didn't see it last night. I fell asleep. What did you think, Robbie? Did you stay up for Hard Knocks?
I did. It was much better.
Much better than
last
time?
I mean, it was
mostly
a lot of Gruden cursing.
Really?
Yes, which is, I thought it was funny. But it was you know, you got to see Antonio Brown's feet, which, you know, was a...
Were they nasty?
It was nastier than I thought it was.
We have a couple of clips from Hard Knocks. We can play Antonio Brown, who yesterday returned to Raiders camp, so it was appropriate that Hard Knocks came up yesterday. So he officially held court on where things stand. He's taken to Twitter, Leroy. He is asking, there's a loophole that has come up with his helmet that he's looking for. If he could find one that's less than 10 years old, he can wear it. But that requires him finding one of these helmets. So he's actually taken to
Twitter.
That's
just been sitting around.
If anybody happens to have one that's less than 10 years old. And right now he's offering up, I believe, an autographed Raiders helmet, which I think someone, if they actually find this holy grail of helmets, I feel like they're going to hold out for a little bit more from Antonio Brown. But this is him yesterday, him talking about his feet. He says they basically circumcised them, Leroy.
You look like you're walking a little funny.
Yeah, my feet is pretty much getting circumcised, right? All right?
Yeah,
for
like,
real.
Like circulation?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah, with the new skin, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of like a pullback right now.
Yeah.
Well, that's one way to describe it, I guess. Here's him talking about the blisters that he's dealing with.
I literally was on a vacation in Paris. I was training, and I was trying cold therapy to recover my body. And I got out, and I felt my foot burning. So I was like, man, I feel a hot sensation. So the next, like, 24 hours, it swelled up. Got really big. I couldn't really walk or put pressure. The doctor came over, drained a little out. Scalpel the next day, freaking scissors the next day. And just kind of let it leak all out. So as everything leaked all out, I was able to put a lot of pressure. Thankfully, my trainer was working me out in the midst of my freaking, I can't be on my feet. So I'm crawling within workouts, just, you know, getting other stuff better and as everything get better. So now it's just like a new skin. I'm trying to, you know, get my feet used to feeling it, but I feel like I just got a big patch of just open whoopee cushion, you know?
Oh, that's horrifying.
Yeah.
That is gross.
I mean, yeah, it happens, man. Like, you have these crazy injuries. Like, would you rather be Antonio Brown or Andrew Luck, who first it was a calf, now it's an ankle? Like, what the hell's wrong with him?
Well, here's the thing, though, with Andrew Luck. This is not the first time the Colts lie about his injuries. They do that all the time. Like, the last time with the shoulder.
Even Peyton Manning.
They were like, shoulder, who knows what's up? And then Ursay comes out and he goes, yeah, it's a bone thing. And then the GM's like, it's an ankle thing. It's
right.
Like, well, I thought he had a calf strain. They're like, yeah, well, the whole Kevin Durant thing, we just want to be clear, we're not doing that.
Everyone's had their questions about Andrew and that sort of thing. But I really feel, you know, very confident that he's going to, you know, find his way through this thing. I think, you know, after Durant thing and everything, everyone's there on the side of caution. But quite frankly, this is not even in the Achilles tendon. It's, you know, in another area. It's a bone. He couldn't be more excited for the season. And we wish there wasn't any little tweaks at all. But, you know, these things come up and you just got to deal with them.
Yeah. Well, that was Jim Irsay on Sirius XM NFL Radio yesterday.
How did he get hurt?
Who, Andrew Luck?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even ask anymore with Andrew Luck. I'm just
right.
Like, oh, another one? Another one's popped up with him? Yeah, it's crazy. Let's get the headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Some news we didn't get to in the first couple of hours. You know, we know about the Canes, you know Jared Williams being named the starter and whatnot, but College Game Day. Of course, there's only one major game going on that week zero where the Canes play the Gators. There's also Arizona-Hawaii later at night. But they are going to have College Game Day from the Magic Kingdom.
Such
in
garbage.
Disney, which means you're not allowed to bring signs.
This is such a garbage move by them.
Hold on.
What?
Did you ever ask yourself why?
Why they're having it at Disney World?
Yeah.
Because that's who owns it?
Oh, okay. Oh, interesting concept there.
No, but if you're going to do it, if anything, they should have the swing to change up game day a little bit. All right? How about allowing for one day in Mouse World, people get to bring college signs? First of all, I don't know if you know this, make a ton of money because you'll get to go to College Game Day and then just go enjoy Disney World.
Right.
All the problem is, I have a sign? Like, you can't. How many people you got at Disney World? You can't have Mickey Mouse out there with a broom? If you're going to do it, have the atmosphere. It's just another case of Kane's bias. It really is. Here's what happened. The best college game day over the last years has been here at Miami. It's clear as day. Everybody said it. Even Desmond Howard said it, that it was the best game day they've had. And so now when the Canes have another big game, a game they were forced into and basically had to leverage to get a quarterback from the transfer portal that they didn't even end up using, the game, you know, to lose a week of preparation. Imagine what Jaren Williams could do with another week of preparation. Be huge. So this Canes bias once again comes through in full strength. Brevin Jordan was saying this yesterday, Leroy. The Canes tight end, he was saying people love to hate the University of Miami. They love to hate him, and they hate when they're on top. And this is what this is. This is trying to hold down what could be a huge atmosphere, getting everybody ready.
I absolutely think we are. I mean, college football hates to see Miami good. And I think it's just a proven fact. I mean, we're one of the most hated teams in college football, and we feed off that. We love that. We love the whole energy. Like, okay, you don't like us? Cool. Like, we want to be the victims of college football. Like, I mean, not the victims. We want to be those type of guys. And I mean, we're excited. It's this whole thing about the new Miami is a good thing, and we like it. We like the whole energy it brings to the team.
Telling you, it's clear as day. Everybody knows it, man. You take it in through that filter, and you're just like, psh.
Whoa, is Miami? Whoa.
Oh, really?
Boo.
Oh, really? Oh, this is what you're gonna do? It's
Boo.
True. Let me ask you something. How many cases do I need to bring forth of absolute Canes bias before you'll start buying into it? How many cases?
Wait.
How many cases?
Wait. I didn't say that there wasn't.
So why are you giving the wah?
I'm giving the wah because you haven't won enough to have a complaint. When you were good, it didn't matter, okay? But you can't have a 7-6 season and complain about.
No one's complaining. Just stating facts.
Sounds like complaining, Robbie.
Nope.
I'm going to tell you this.
We complain or
You want to end some stuff? Go out and beat Florida.
And what? They'll say Florida was overrated and that.
So
they,
what?
Nope, they won't give the Canes credit.
What?
You know how it's going to work. We know how it's going to work. And you know what's going to happen?
Why? If you win a game, why would you care about credit? Who cares?
Because.
You got 13 games. You go win 13 games and don't give a damn what people think
man,
about
this
you.
This is what happens. What happens when the Canes win big highlighted games?
Sounds like a whole bunch of whining.
No, here's what happens. When the Canes, when they win themselves a headline game, you know what they do? They tell them to forfeit. That's what they do. They win a game with a lot of buzz that makes national headlines. They say, give it up.
Wait.
Give up the win.
There was a lot of people on the
Canes. Vacate the wins.
There was a lot of people on that Canes bandwagon when they beat Notre Dame.
Yeah, there was.
Okay.
Yeah,
there was. Paul Feinbaum with a turnover chain.
Guess what? Don't want him. Feinbaum?
That's fine. Then
Paul
why
Feinbaum?
You don't want him. Why are you complaining now?
Dude, breastfeeds right from the SEC.
But why are you complaining then about people having a bias?
Because you know what I like? I would like you guys to just call it down
not
the middle.
Call
guys. It like it is.
I call it like it is.
You call him the pinky toe. I don't even want to hear. We know you're a hater on it.
And why do I call him that?
Because you have some cockamamie theory where you're like, you don't even acknowledge back in the 40s when they had leather helmets on. What about those days?
What I said was, is you know, the University of Miami had a football program that started in 1929. You only count the years from 1980.
And then, Leroy, I bring up the point when we talk about Major League Baseball statistics from the 20s and the 30s. What do you always point out?
No black people, no Latinos.
Yeah, interesting.
So we can't. So this is the same rule applies to college football in the 20s and the 30s.
Okay. You had a football program in the 60s.
No, listen, I don't know what ghosts you got to see back in Michigan on those 20s and 30s walls. I'm sure they were fantastic players, you know, striking. Did you guys actually have Heisman? Did he play for you?
Not entertaining your lunacy, your ridiculousness.
About Remington?
Remington. No, he played for Nebraska, didn't he?
I don't know. Who did Heisman play for?
Well, I know he coached Georgia Tech, and they beat somebody like 200 to nothing. I think it was Cumberland College.
No, he didn't care about running it up?
No, I think Remington went to Nebraska. I'm not sure, but I'm almost positive.
Let's see.
Very look-upable.
Let's see. Who did Theismann play for?
No, don't shoot Theismann. You might get something else.
Oh, yeah, Joe Theismann. Why did I put Theismann? Theismann.
He played at Brown, and they actually played at Brown and then transferred to Penn.
Yeah, makes sense. Ivy League. Yeah, back in the day when the Ivy League was king, Leroy wants to count that football.
If it's 1887, he was playing for Brown.
We're here running the wishbone and splitting the atom.
Yeah, they weren't even throwing passes back then.
Hell out of here.
Canes have lost 9 of their last 16 games. Nobody cares enough even to bother to hate them.
Please.
Yeah, I know. You just got something to complain about.
Yet they do.
It's funny.
Yet they do.
It's funny. When the Canes were winning championships, they didn't care what everybody thought.
Yes, they did. What are you talking about?
Winning championships, you don't care.
You do.
You can't complain and go 7-6. You can't complain and go 7-6.
Just staying how it is. Just staying how life is.
You can't complain and go 7-6.
What's wrong with making an observation in life?
All right.
I can't just say it is what it is. Look at it. I look around. I see a bunch of haters. And people just want to be like, no. Or you have to get to a certain level. Like it's Sonic the Hedgehog. Like you got to reach some kind of accomplishment before I'm allowed to say what it was.
Question. And this is not me. This is a texter. Canes have one 10-win season in the last 15 years, yet these Cane bros think there's a vast conspiracy theory where everyone hates to see them good.
There is.
Fact is, we haven't even seen them good in almost two decades.
Here's the facts, though.
But is that an accurate assessment?
It's not.
Why?
It's not.
Why?
Because
everything that was stated in this text is accurate.
Because it doesn't take into account the Canes' bias when it came to the NCAA sanctions and how people took forever with that cloud hanging over the head. Because
now you're talking about the cloud.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm not the coach. You know, eventually I got to see results. All right. All right. All right, Al.
Okay. One 10-win season in the last is not results. Would you agree?
No, it's not.
Okay.
But I'm not the coach. Okay. I'm just talking about history here. And the history was, they wanted to hold the Canes in this limbo area forever, and every college in the state got to use it against them.
And I
got
to tell you, if you're so worried about what people think, you can't wear camo coming off a plane.
That was back in the 80s.
Listen.
Oh, wait. What? Excuse me?
That was back. Not the same time.
Okay, did that count? No.
It does count.
That's your heyday.
Please.
And then when people get this attitude about you, you can't go boo, 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 boo.
Oh, everybody, I mean, like, honestly, could you remember one thing that Michigan did back in the 80s that rubbed anybody the wrong way? No, but somebody always remembers the fatigues. You want to know why? Canes bias. That's why. Because it stays in your mind forever.
Look, you can't rub it in people's face and then have it both ways.
You know who believes in body language, by the way? Ira Windermann. Definitely has to be a body language believer. You think he believes in the Hassan body language thing? I bet he does. We'll talk to Ira Windermann next. All right, welcome back, guys. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you this morning. Hey, Dolphins preseason is underway, and 7-9 Ticket is going to have daily Finns camp reports with the latest news and information. Preseason reports on the ticket are sponsored by Lexus of Pembroke Pines. Always an amazing deal. Let's go to the Ryan Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Store's guest line. Truly steps beyond convenient that we'll find Ira Windermann kind enough to join us. Ira, how are you doing this morning?
What's up, Ira?
I'm good.
I'm doing good, guys, but Tobin, I have a bone to pick with you because
really?
I have a concern here.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure on the new schedule that came out on Tuesday or Monday what day the Heat are going to retire Dwayne Wade's jersey.
Yes.
However, I'm figuring you're the fly in the ointment because will they retire his jersey before Biscayne Boulevard is named Dwayne Wade Boulevard?
Oh, man.
Or are you the one who are going to make us wait because of all this political red tape?
Trust me, there's been so much red tape out that I even learned about some new stuff last week. I'm just like, you know, like when I even started talking about the street thing, like it wasn't some grand idea, like, oh, great athlete is going to get a street named after him.
Sure.
I wanted them to do it while he was still playing. Like, I wanted them to put incentive for him to come back for a final season. I thought that was the move. Little did I know there's all these rules and regulations. At this point, it's like with Dwayne getting a street renamed after him. Yeah, obviously he should. If Dan Marino and Don Shula have a street, of course Dwayne Wade deserves a street named after him. I just can't believe it's taking this long. You know what also really upset me about it? The damn Dallas Mavericks. And there's always that Heat Mavericks thing.
Here we go.
They got the Dirk thing done, Ira, in like 3 weeks. In 3 weeks, they got in commission and decided. Boom, boom. And with the Heat, it's with Miami, it's like, oh, well, we have this policy, and we have this policy, and it can't be this many blocks away. It's just like, oh, my God, enough already. Just name the street after him, please.
So I guess we'll just settle for Beasley Drive during the retirement ceremony and then move forward from there.
Yeah, I was happy to see B's got another gig. It's good to see he's still sticking around and not going back to China.
It's just incredible. When you talk about second, third, fifth, and 20th chances, you know what it really shows, though, with B's is he has the immense talent that he should have stayed in the NBA the whole time, and it's just the other issues. But I was glad for him, and it really is crazy that after all those years of what the Heat could or couldn't have gotten in 2008, that Derrick Rose and Beasley are on the same team now after the way that lottery went
to
the Heat.
That's bananas. Wow. Yeah. All right. So we were talking earlier today because Brian Flores, he called out Josh Rosen to have better body language.
Don't do it.
All right?
Don't bring Ira into this.
I'm bringing him into it. And the number one, I would say, offender of bad body language over the years for the Heat has been Hassan Whiteside, where it was just not going his way. You could read it on him immediately on the court where he was not happy not getting the ball or something just wasn't going quite his way or wasn't getting the minutes. Boom. Immediate mope face that was going on Hassan Whiteside. Do you believe that affects play, and does that matter to other players on the court?
I think it impacts coaches and decisions to play players, absolutely, especially in the NBA when you're not only visible on the field, moping maybe, but also on the bench. And I've been told over the years, among the reasons that Pat Riley and his wife, Chris, sit opposite the Heat bench is just to keep an eye on things like that also and to have a view of the bench as opposed to sitting somewhere else. So, yeah, I think in basketball, you guys have seen it, players with towels over their heads, you know, players not sitting with teammates. We've seen that with other teams, laying on the floor, on the court, on the end line. I think that matters 1,000%, and I know for a fact every time that Hassan was moping that it did get back to Eric Spoelstra after games, and I do think that it impacted his playing time. I do think that impacted the way the Heat handled Hassan, and I know for a fact that people close to Hassan consistently told him, eyes are on you, you have to be better that way. So yeah, I think that had a lot to do with it. I think of the fact that in the NBA, because you were exposed on the bench, not with another, you know, 40-odd players and team personnel in the NFL. Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it. And his body language was, I would go as far as saying, abhorrent at times.
See, Leroy? Pat Riley believes in it. Pat Riley!
Hold on.
Now I got Flores and Pat Riley on my side.
Different sports, and Hassan was a mope.
Yes.
Okay? It wasn't a matter of bad body language as much as it was he was showing his displeasure for his opportunities and
correct.
He did it during games. That's a different. Some people just don't have that personality. Jay Cutler, mope.
Yep.
Yes.
Had a job for 12 years though.
But not so good. He wasn't good at it.
It didn't affect him.
It affected others. It affected
others. There's a lot of people who just don't have the personality. There is a difference, though, in people who are mopes and who people use body language to show their displeasure for their opportunity. That's what Hassan did, and that's why people say he was a mope. But more importantly, people in the Heat organization looked at him and said, wait a minute, You got to fight through this. You got to fight through your opportunities. Not soon as you get into a situation you don't like, show your displeasure by moping. Big difference.
And that's the thing I think you see in basketball. I think the two extremes, Leroy, are this. Are the mopey McGillicuddies that everyone notices, and then at the other end of it is the BS towel waver, who is up on every play but never plays.
Never plays.
Like, notice me, look at me, I'm waving my towel. And I got to tell you, that drives players crazy also, because literally they look to the left usually because the guy's on the end of the bench, and they're like, sit down, buddy. You ain't playing, and no one's noticed you. So I think that's the extreme. But again, that's the difference in the NBA. There are no helmets. Everyone sees every emotion,
right,
facially and otherwise. I think in football, the cameras intentionally go to those players that they know are mopers with the heads down to sort of play it up. I think that's something people at home see more than teammates and people in the arena.
Yeah. Also, you know where that hype guy is sitting? Right next to UD.
I'm minus one, Leroy. I'm really like, I mean, you really like, that was so uncalled for and just out of any
minus
there's
one.
No reason to do that. All right, you were the first guy I saw this week put out the Reggie Evans stuff. I felt like I was reading the Onion when I'm reading your story, because I don't understand why Reggie Evans is in this mode where he just wants questions about the big three. So like I had to go and watch the press conference just to believe it, because it was bananas that. You have two former champions up there with the Heat who obviously I would think want to reflect on some good times that they've had in their career and be in a place where they're appreciated. Did you think it was the most bananas thing you've ever seen that this guy is cutting you off or cutting people off and asking, no, only big three questions?
It was so surreal that I didn't think I was going to write it right away, because I got to be honest with you. I went to the Big Three on Saturday for one reason, to talk to Heat players, to talk to Duncan Robinson and James Johnson and Bam Adebayo and Josh Richardson. Like, okay, those guys will be there. I'm not going to write about some silly half-court, you know, retired league of players basically on their last leg. And then he said that, and I'm like, yeah, do I even want to give him the credibility of writing this? But it was so ludicrous. And then when he was asked about Vince Carter, he cut off the question again when a guy from The Athletic and a writer had actually flown down from Atlanta just to do a story on that. That's what you have, I think, in all sports. In most sports, the bitter guy who didn't get his one last run just goes away. There's no retired player NFL. There's no retired MLB like they used to be briefly when they had their old-timer series. So I think this gives the bitter guys who believe they still should be in the league a once-a-week forum to try to make their case. And it's kind of sad, because when the end comes, the end comes. I mean, you look at a guy like Mario Chalmers. Let's face it, guys. He's probably never getting back in the league. He tore an Achilles. He's missed two full seasons already. So you feel bad for the guy. Let him have his moment. Let him live in nostalgia. But the guy who denies nostalgia, I mean, to me, what Reggie Evans did when I was sitting there is like, oh my God, that is really pathetic that the guy can't let go. But so many of these guys still think they deserve a chance and they were robbed. Well, Reggie Evans was robbed because he couldn't put that round thing through the circle and score enough. That's why he's not in the league anymore.
Oh man.
We call that on this show petty.
it was crazy. So last thing for you, Ira. So Kelly Olynyk, it looks like he's officially shut down. How does this work? Because I saw, like, I guess Heat doctors were involved in the situation. Is that how that normally works with international play?
Absolutely.
And the Heat are saying, no, you're not going out there.
Yeah, these guys are basically on loan to the national team, and especially when it's not the Olympics. And no one I know talks about the World Cup and the fact that it's going to happen during the start of college and NFL season. Honestly, no one's going to pay attention. It's just not that big a deal. So when a player gets injured, you know, in an international competition, they go back to the team doctor, and he gives an analysis. And Tobin, you know this. There have been so many Heat bone bruises on the knee over the years where you're initially told, oh, it's just a week, he's fine, and then a month later you're asking, where is he? Well, I spoke to someone close to the Heat yesterday, and they told me they're not sure that Kelly's going to be ready for training camp.
Yeesh.
One, because you're cautious, simply because training camp starts a month before the season. Season doesn't start until October 23rd. But bone bruises on knees are issues. So I think it was a no-brainer for the Heat. I think Basketball Canada is totally screwed because no one wants to play with them. To me, the tougher thing that happened the last couple of days is you have a guy like Bam Adebayo that busts his butt, flies out to Vegas, does everything Coach Popovich asks of him. Instead, they keep Marvin Bagley from the Kings, and then Bagley 2 days later goes, yeah, I don't want to be here anyway, and he drops off the team. Almost like he wanted to brag, hey, I made the first cut for USA Basketball. That was such a cold reality that when I tried to talk to Bam on Saturday, he basically said he still wants to get over and sort of process what happened, going from nowhere, getting an invitation, being a first cut, and the guy he was cut for saying, yeah, I don't need this, and then walking away. I think that was the more awkward situation of the two. Bam will be fine. Bam will be angry. Bam will be motivated. Now the question is whether Kelly will be healthy enough.
And Bam will have great body language.
Great and body. That's what it's all about, obviously.
Thanks for the time, Ira. I really
Thanks,
appreciate it,
Ira.
Man.
All right, I'll be moping on press row. Thank you, guys.
As Ira Windeman always appreciate him.
I can't believe
the last
you sucked him into that.
What? Leroy, it's
but
a
we,
thing,
we're
man.
Comparing. We're comparing the body language of players to a body language Hall of Famer in Hassan.
Is that what it goes? Oh, does he go under Hall of Famer?
Was there anybody? If you took him out of a game after he just scored 6 or 7 points, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you took him out of the game, he was moping before he got to the sidelines.
It was crazy.
That's not what they're talking about with Josh Rosen.
Mm-hmm. And look, even with Hassan Whiteside, he would still roll out and he'd get his 12 and 11 or his 15 and his 15 and 11, whatever. But, like, you know, it's still got to be like, I got to imagine for the coach and for the locker room, they're going to be like, not having him on the I think it's even more of a question of having him on the court, because I feel like a lot of guys liked Hassan Whiteside as a dude. I think as a guy, they liked the person, but not having that like way over you, be like, all right, here's Hassan. He's gonna be saying things out of the side of his mouth because he didn't get the minutes that he wants. That's what I think that is. Like, he doesn't have to hear that. Like, you know, Justice or Bam don't have to hear about Spo. Spo's got it in for me. He's got it in for me, man.
But that's here. We live in a world today where it's never our fault.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the thing that Hassan did. That's what he did to justify him being the way he was, is Spo has it out for me.
Yep.
Now, it's what Canes fans do. Reason why we were 7-6, because they have a Kane bias. Like, it's never because our team's not good enough. And I can say it about any fan base.
Like,
I'm saying it about Miami because we're here.
That's not.
No, but there are a lot of similarities. Is that, okay, if Hassan would have just had a little self-evaluation, right, and evaluated the situation. I mean, I'm still getting texts about, hey, this is the only place they wanted to give the death penalty. Yeah. Okay, how long ago was that?
Well, it wasn't that long ago.
Yes, it was.
They were going to do it again. No, Mark May was like, he was on TV calling for the
death
penalty.
That was 6 years ago.
Whatever, man. It was recent. It's not like the first Sports Illustrated thing.
Wait, here, in the years that happened, okay, who was it? I want to say, was it, who got rid of their football program and brought it back in Texas?
It was UAB.
Thinking of UAB.
UAB got rid of their program and brought it back, and you're still complaining about Miami bias?
That wasn't a violation thing. Didn't they just run out of dough?
Yeah,
whatever the reason is, they are back to being a D1 school, and you're still complaining about the bum breaks that you got when they almost –
I mean,
or people wanted to give you the death penalty.
Man, I'm still hearing about the Browns losing their team. It's enough.
You guys, not really.
All the time.
From who?
Oh, Goldhammer, the lot
no,
of you.
No, no.
The lot of you.
You think now with the team they have now, they care that the team
was
gone?
Oh, finally. But I tell you one thing. If you had a bad call go against you, tell me there's not going to be a Browns
bias
all over the place.
You're also talking about a team that went 1-31.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's a lot different than what's going on down here.
We'll get more into the Josh Rosen thing. We'll get back into that. Plus, I want to hear a little bit of Manny Diaz on his quarterback decision. We'll be back after this. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin, Leroy, and Beast. Thanks again to Ira Windeman for joining us.
Yep. Body language.
Telling you, man.
You went right to the body language Hall of Famer.
Sorry.
And Hassan.
Had to do it. A box knows no bounds.
Yeah, that was a box.
It's a box. So yesterday, it was Canes Media Day yesterday.
Yep.
And so it was a big day, obviously. They had to. Obviously,
they wanted to announce it before media day.
Kind of makes sense. Jaren Williams was the only quarterback who was available.
Well, because, I mean, you want to talk about body language. You don't want to have that stench. In fairness to the other two guys, though, do you really want to put them in that situation? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to do that to those young men.
It's a tough spot. And, you know, I think the thing that's tough is, like, they all say that they're in a good spot and they're all friends, but you are all competing for the same thing. You all want the same thing. And, like, I was blown away. Like, I don't know if you saw the story, Leroy, but it was pretty cool. Brevin Jordan was talking about the story with Jaren Williams last year and saying, like, you know, the guy felt like he was the best quarterback last year and he was running with the threes, you know, like never felt like he got a fair shake. Said he got depressed, gained a lot of weight, wasn't in good shape last year after not getting his way. Maybe it has something to do with him getting knocked a game from Richt or something like that. I don't know. You never quite know. And so he basically was going to transfer. The big thing that swung it was Richt wasn't coming back, so it was looked upon as a clean slate. But it was interesting from that standpoint where this guy was kind of looked upon as, oh yeah, I'm going to move on out, and now he is your quarterback. Here is Jaren Williams yesterday. This was him saying how confident he was, how confident he is in himself and what he thinks he's going to bring to the table.
I would say really day one, you know, I'm a very confident guy. You know, that's one of the things about me. I'm just very confident. So, you know, day one in the offense, you know, I'm still learning, but I'm just very confident in myself, you know, I'm very confident.
So it's going to be interesting, man. Like, we're going into this situation.
We had this conversation about coaches have an obligation to put the best guy out there.
Yeah.
And how players act when they know that they're better than the people that are playing out there.
Yeah.
And it presents that. Look, now, the most talented player does not always play, but the best player will. Me being that you can't be a knucklehead but have the most talent, because you can't show your team that you are dependable. And so that plays a lot into it too. But yeah, imagine going, wait, man, if football is one of the few sports where you earn it, you earn every minute you get. And I feel that I'm the best guy, and there's other guys on the team that feel I am the best guy. Why am I not playing? It could be, look, being a freshman is different.
Yeah.
Because some people go into a situation and it's like, there's really nothing that he could do that would warrant him not getting a red shirt when Nikosi just coming off of his red shirt.
I think the thing that's interesting with college football is we are at this time where it feels like everybody wants to get that playing time from the start, which I kind of find a little odd because it feels like this stuff is it
millennials.
Like,
you don't look the first look. I don't care whatever level of football you go to. The first thing a coach says to you as a group, first team meeting,
mm-hmm.
nothing is given to you. You will earn everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for a freshman to think that he's going to come in and it's going to be given to him, especially with a guy that's already been there, that's on them. You know, that's on them.
Yeah, but this is what I mean by that. Like, we're at a point right now where it feels like the draft is basically decided after bowl season, you know? Like, a guy can be swung by just a good – look at Kyler Murray, man. Anybody think Kyler Murray is going to end up being the number one draft pick? Number one?
We knew he'd be a – well
– everybody thought he was going to baseball, though. Like, he, you know, he got permission to go play from the A's. They're like, oh, yeah, go ahead. We'll be here waiting for you.
Right, because he took the money.
Yeah.
That's why he had to get the okay.
But it was, but it's pretty bananas that we're in a place where these things get swung. And so that's why I find it surprising these freshmen are kind of in such a rush to go play. I know everybody wants to play, but it felt like we used to be at a time where you kind of sat and waited your turn. You mm-hmm. sat behind the older guy. You developed. And then you went and got your two years where you got to show you were the guy.
I didn't play until my third. Well, I played my second year. I lettered in my second year, but I didn't play substantial time until my third year, my third and fourth year. But keep in mind, I also went to a university where two freshmen played my year and didn't play a substantial amount of time except one wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some universities, like I know guys that went to Miami, right? If you were good enough to play, you played. Like, what's the point in redshirting you if you're going to leave in 3 years because we think you're that good anyway?
Right.
So we might as well get that playing time out of you, mm-hmm, and develop you early so that we get two or three quality years. So that has changed a lot. But I can't imagine, you know, a coach can only promise you an opportunity to play.
Mm-hmm.
So if a coach said you're going to have every opportunity to play depending on how well you perform, then you can deal with that. Like, when I was in college, you didn't really even get that. I mean, we had scrimmages on Monday with all the freshmen and all the guys who didn't play. And we would have a scrimmage the day on the Sunday after the game.
Here's Manny Diaz. This was him talking about what separates Jaren and from the rest of the guys.
I would sit at practice and I'd say we could win with all three of these guys. I really felt that, and I was not, it's really why I kind of felt easy about the decision, because I did not, it was not like, oh gosh. I mean, I felt like we could go any of the three directions. What separates Jaren is just, Jaren is a little bit of an instinct. You know, once you get past the arm talent and all that type of thing, he's just a little bit of an instinct in terms of where to go with the ball and a feel for the game that I think was just a little bit different than the other two at this moment. And ultimately that might've been the deciding factor.
Always got to get in those three guys. I know we were close with everybody, but really, really, Jaren's the one who stuck out. I got to be honest with you. The rest of these guys, oof, glad we dodged a bullet. Is that only my line?
Yeah.
Nobody else says that?
Yep.
I think we may have dodged a bullet with the Bam thing, though. You know, I know.
They'll call him back.
I know.
They might call him back.
They got to cut it down anyway. Like, it has to be down to 12. Like, he didn't make the final cut.
Hey, funny how Tobin used to be the world's biggest Whiteside slurper.
Not true.
What?
Not true.
What?
Not true.
Robbie!
Not true. Did I make parody songs about him and encourage? Yeah. But listen, he turned his back on us, not the other way around. I sat here saying, hey, we're here to love you. And what did he do? Moped.
Right.
What am I supposed to do in a loveless marriage? I'm supposed to just keep taking that hurt? I'm supposed to just be in this place? You're going to sit there, you're going to lollygag all around the platform? That's not our fault, Robbie. What am I supposed to do? I'm a Heat fan. You're going to go out there and you're going to talk all this bleep and not show up in a playoff series? Right. Hell out of here and blame the coach. Ridiculous. Okay. All you have is an opportunity, Leroy. That's what they say.
That's it.
Speaking of things that are going down, hey, you know I've been telling you about this relationship between Josh Rosen and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, you I don't
frosty.
Look,
I got more proof.
You know
yesterday.
Why it's not frosty?
Hmm?
Do you really want me to tell you why it's not frosty?
You can tell me next.
Okay.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.